You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Welcome to a new episode of Delirious Nomads, brought to you by Blacklight Media Records, a weekly podcast hosted by yours truly, celebrity chef Chris Santos. I hate calling myself that. And underground metal connoisseur Matt Bacon, who loves being called that. This is your new favorite podcast for all things heavy metal, as well as breakdowns of your favorite combat sports and riffing on some food talk every week with very special guests from across the globe. Welcome to another episode of Delirious Nomads. These guests just keep amazing me that they're going to spend their time with us, their valuable time. The guests keep getting bigger. The stories keep getting larger than life. I'm sure today will be no different. We have guitar legend Gary Holt from Exodus and Slayer with us. And he's here. Dude, you got so much going on. Thank you for taking the time to be with us.
No worries, man. I did most of the cleaning of the property from the bomb cyclone yesterday. I'm not done, but I was working hard yesterday.
How long was the storm?
It rained like hard, nonstop, massive wind, and for 24 straight hours, never stopped. Lost power for 2 or 3 hours. But other than that, I survived. I saw some trees knocked over in the areas near my place, and I lucked out on that end of things. You know, nothing fell over, nothing got blown away or swept away.
Bomb Cyclone. Is there a band called Bomb Cyclone?
There should be a band called Bomb Cyclone.
Yeah.
I think. Side project.
So lots of stuff happening with you. You got a new record with Exodus coming out.
Yeah.
All the singles are amazing, dude. Really great stuff. How'd that come together? When did you guys start recording that guy? Was it over the pandemic or what?
Yeah, we gathered up at Tom Hunting's place up in the mountains last July. Tom and I just started, got together in a room, half stacking a drum kit, and started bashing out all these riffs and stuff I had. And we, you know, the pandemic was good for us in that aspect. You know, we had nothing else to do. The only thing we can control was, you know, music. And so we shipped in an entire recording studio and built the studio in the mountains and isolated ourselves surrounded by forest fires and made an album.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's awesome.
And Tom was sick while you were figuring that all out?
Well, we didn't know what was going on with him at that time. He was getting tests done for unexplained weight loss, but he felt fine. But, you know, like the guy's the size of Paul Bunyan. And, you know, at one point, you know, he was weighing less than I do, you know, which isn't right. But he played his ass off, not knowing what was wrong. It wasn't until I think around February this year that he finally got the proper diagnosis.
He's doing okay now?
He's doing great. I mean, we just played our first show back with him at Aftershock Festival, and he completely destroyed. The crowd gave him this rousing welcome back, very emotional. The band was just following his lead that day. Just
that's crushing.
It was awesome.
That's amazing. How was John Tempesta? Good buddy of mine.
John's doing good. He filled in for us, you know, and those shows were fun. We flew out Rick Hunolt for both of them, and we kind of turned it into like a, you know, an Exodus welcome back jam session kind of thing. And it was a lot of fun. Johnny was super nervous, you know. He hasn't played this kind of stuff in a long time.
Yeah. So how does that work? Do you guys do, how many rehearsals would you put in with John to do a show like that?
Shit, I flew down to Johnny's and we jammed in his little music room. You know, he's got a little electronic kit. We jammed for a couple afternoons. Then we had a rehearsal in Vegas the day before the Vegas show. And that was it.
Wow.
Hey, he was in the band for years. He should remember this shit.
Right.
You know, what's the practice? You know, what's practice?
Right. That's awesome. I love that kid. I love him.
Yeah, me too. He's a great guy.
We're kind of neighbors. We hang out sometimes when we have time. He just you can't be with that guy and not just crack up the whole afternoon.
Nah, he's awesome. I love him.
So what's the big plan? You know, when is the record actually coming out?
November 19th comes out. The plan was I'd be on tour right now, but we decided to postpone our tour with Testament and Death Angel to next year just because so many bands are out there right now, and you know, tours are getting like postponed, canceled, missed shows due to the testing protocols, you know, and like, you know, and I'm certainly pro vaccine, and I raced out and got it first second I could. I contemplated cheating, but you know, I thought better of it. But you know, the thing is, like, vaccinated or not, if you're out on tour and there's mandatory testing and you feel as well as I do right now and you test positive, you're out, get out of here, you know. And if that happens to, you know, Chuck Billy or myself or Zetch or anybody, the tour is basically over and we're now in debt. I'd rather not make money than owe money.
Sure, of course.
So it sucks. You know, I'd be like 2 weeks into the tour right now. First tour since the pandemic, you know. It is what it is. I can't control it.
Did you announce dates for the reschedule or you're just kind of in a holding pattern right now?
All the rescheduled dates are announced. They're all in the same cities. So you know, we made sure to get it done that way. We didn't want people to have to get refunds unless, you know, they said, you know, fuck those guys. We don't want to go now.
Right.
But, you know, like sometimes you reschedule a tour and the dates don't line up anymore and due to availability or whatever. But every city is rebooked. Everybody can keep their ticket and just go in April through May.
So when you talk about that package specifically, right, Exodus, Testament, Death Angel, you know, I remember discovering all those bands in probably 84, 85. You know, my failed attempt at a fanzine back in like 85, 86 had me interviewing Chuck Billy. I remember because I probably came up to his knee at that point in my life.
He's a big guy.
So he's such a great guy. And he really was like super patient with my 15-year-old self, listening to my dumb questions, probably just as you are now, actually. It's all come full circle. But right. You know, but you think about it, like, you know, it's going on. You started or you joined Exodus like in 81. Is that right?
80, 81, something like that. Been so long, you know, memory's fogging. 40 years, yeah.
So I guess it's a two-part question. Could you imagine then that you'd be doing this now? And then what do you attribute to the staying power of this music that it's still popular as it is and that you can, you know, do these huge tours and that you just played Aftershock in front of what, 40,000 people or something?
Something like that. I mean, you know, did I foresee that I'd still be here all these years later? Yes and no. You know, the young me like saw visions of like, you know, living the life and rock star and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and like, it was going to be awesome because I just played my first club. Like, but, you know, 40 years is a long time to be playing this kind of music. But, you know, I think it's longevity is because the music is honest. We've never faked anything.
What does it feel like with like Aftershock getting reunited with Tom Hunting? You know, like you've been playing with him for 40 years, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
How does it feel to get to have like a live reunion with someone like that, even after, like, I know obviously there's a long relationship with John, but it's got to feel like special to have someone like that back in.
Tom Hunting is the other complete half to my musical life, you know, even though, you know, there have been times, you know, due to health issues, he hasn't been here. You know, I mean, first time we hung out, you know, he got arrested for shoplifting with me, you know, when we were kids.
Wait, tell me the story. What's going on? Break this down.
All right. I knew Tom because we lived on opposite sides of Davis Park in San Pablo. And I rode motocross with all these kids on his street, you know, and I'd always hear some drumming coming on. And I'd see him around, but I didn't really know him that well. And the first time we actually hung out, we went into Alpha Beta to steal beef jerky and caps, you know, for cap guns, you know, because you take the whole roll and drop a huge brick on it. It's like a cherry bomb, you know, boom.
How old were you?
I was like probably 16. He was like 15 or something like that.
Okay.
I was outside waiting for him and he just wasn't coming out. And I fuck it. I'm leaving him. I'm out of here. And he had gotten nabbed. His mom still loves me. Go figure. You know, when I write a riff, he's the drummer that's in my head when I write it. You know, it's like we have a language, an unspoken language that can't be replicated, you know. And so playing a show back with him after this battle that we all went through with him, it was emotional. You know, it was hard not to lose it for a couple seconds, but we just poured it out on the stage instead of getting all teary-eyed, we just got angry and just crushed some fools.
That's great. Well, it's great to hear that he's doing better. And it's incredible that he's come back so fast and is crushing shows already. That's incredible.
Yeah, you know, he was scheduled for follow-up chemo after a surgery. You know, they give you enough time to heal, obviously. And he didn't need it. You know, they're just putting him on some immunotherapy stuff. And he's doing great. It's fantastic. So stoked.
So let's go all the way back to the beginning. So you joined Exodus. You didn't start it, right?
I joined the band replacing a guitar player named Tim Agnello, who was in the band before I was. But the band had been operating as a three-piece for a while with like Tom singing and playing drums, even Hammett singing a little bit, which is really awful. I wish I had video. Terrible. First time I ever saw Kirk, they played in my high school band room because we went to different high schools. And they played and he sang on Scorpions, Another Piece of Meat. Vocals were not very good, but I loved it. It was so rad. The song is so killer.
So I guess that's the question, right? Is like, how did you start playing? Why metal? Why this kind of metal? How did it all start?
You know, that's a hard question. I guess you just took influences, you know, the stuff we like. And I always gravitated towards the super hard rock, you know, the heavier and the harder, the better. And then you're like discovering things like Judas Priest and songs like Exciter and all that kind of stuff. And the first Maiden album. And then, you know, the hardcore punk, the British hardcore was like a huge influence on me as far as like the aggression and speed.
You've played on every Exodus record right from the beginning. You never left the band, right?
No, never. Only for my little journeys with Slayer, but you know, I never left the band. I just wasn't always there.
Right, right. Other than the current period, like what would you say, what was your favorite period with the band?
The Bonded by Blood era, you know, kids out with our first album, first tour, we're touring with Venom, our heroes, you know, playing the Hammersmith Odeon in London and cruising around Italy, attempting to fish in these canals in Florence, you know, it was awesome. A day off, we saw fish, we went and bought lines and hooks and tried to catch fish, you know, what were we going to do with them? I didn't know. We probably found a way to cook it. But we could see them, we're walking above the canals like, there's fish down there, let's go fishing, you know, it's pretty awesome.
That's funny, I've never thought to do that in Italy, fish in the canal.
We were just living the life, you know. We'd sell in the shirts off our backs to fans to like make more drinking money. Fun, good times.
Going into the current record, which again, I love the songs I've heard. I mean, it more than holds up than with anything you guys have ever done your whole career. You'll do the tour with Death Angel and Testament, and then are there larger plans for more festivals and things like that? Or are you guys already thinking about a new record? Or
nah, we got a tour for a couple of years on this thing first. Once touring resumes, you know, we have a whole festival run booked for Europe that was booked for last year, and you know, it's just shoved forward. And hopefully all that, you know, goes as planned, but I don't see any reason why not, you know. And we're just going to, you know, hopefully resume our touring lifestyle, you know.
Because you've been doing this, you know, obviously there was a break in the 90s when you went and did War Dance. What keeps you going back on the road and keeps you hungry to like keep touring?
Love. I love it. You know, playing live, that's my fuel. And, you know, I mean, I have a whole nother side of me, and that's the husband, father, grandfather that likes to sit at home and play with the grandkids and cruise around the property, you know, chopping shit up, you know, fucking, I love that. But, you know, playing live, that's why I do it. You know, a couple of things make me super happy, and that's gigs and riffs, you know, I love it.
How many kids and grandkids do you have?
Two.
Two of each?
Yeah, one boy, one girl.
Got it. You don't look like a grandfather. You look great for your age, man.
I'm that cool grandpa. You know, lets him beat on his guitars and shit.
Yeah. So Slayer, 18-year run. Did you ever see that coming?
Me, no. I was just short of 10 years.
I thought it was a longer period.
10, you know, just short of 10 years. If we had made it to February of this year, it'd been 10 years.
Got it.
But yeah, what an experience. It was as much fun as I'd ever had, you know. Slayer and my family number two. And they always treated me like family from the day one. You know, we're old friends from childhood. And it was a good time, you know. Say the last final show was a sad moment, you know, kind of like fighting off tears while playing Angel of Death. Who'd ever thought that happened?
Yeah. Right. You know, I fighting off tears while listening, watching you guys do it. I can relate completely. But
you know, it gave me a lot of great things being in Slayer, but you know, I miss being in Exodus, you know, it's my family number one, you know, and I was back on tour within 2 months of ending Slayer.
You know, when you went and did the Slayer thing, from my perspective as a fan, it felt like that sort of made more people aware of Exodus, which I thought was awesome. Did you get that same impression that that was like a good thing for Exodus?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the band totally supported me in doing it. You know, they understood it was a good thing for me and a good thing for the band. And it certainly like increased their profile. I mean, I still this day don't know why I have as many Instagram followers as I have. All I do is post kittens and shit and offensive t-shirts. But you know, I just try to keep it entertaining and drama free. But yeah, it was good for the band, and hopefully the new album will be get a nice kick from it.
Was it difficult to juggle touring cycles or writing records and touring with Slayer at the same time?
Yes, totally. Totally. I mean, on the last Exodus album, I was in Europe and we were trading vocal tracks, via Dropbox, and the communication level, there's a big delay because you're not sitting in the same room talking about what you want to achieve. You're having to write it out or phone calls and then wait for the redone version to come back. And it was difficult. And I often failed at it as far as juggling too. It's like the band toured with, Craig and Loom filling in for me many times, but it kept the band active, rather than sitting around dormant waiting for me to return.
Right. So it must have been nice then to be able to write this record in a much more stable kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. We all gathered in the mountains. It was like summer camp and we just isolated ourselves. But that's the way we like to work anyway. We don't like going to a normal studio and fighting traffic there and back every day. We'd rather build a studio and live there and record and write and barbecue.
Yeah, listen, next record, when you're doing that, just have me come up for a couple of days and I'll do the barbecuing.
Fuck yeah, we'll do it. Because, we're never going back to the traditional way of recording. I mean, we haven't in years, but this time we did the drums as well in our own studio. Usually we'd book regular studio time because you need a lot more equipment for the drums, but we just shipped it all in. Just said, fuck it. We don't need a studio for anything.
Nice. And it sounds great.
No, it's amazing. Yeah. I mean, we shipped in a ton of gear. We had no shortage of inputs and mics and stuff.
Right. Let's talk about cats.
Yeah. I'm a cat lover who doesn't own a cat.
Well, you don't have one?
I do not have a cat.
That's surprising to me.
I come really close about 1,000 times during this pandemic, but my last cat, my wife was working, I was touring all the time and he was getting very neurotic, he was being left alone all the time. And so we rehomed him with a really good friend of mine who has a 7-year-old son. And so Buffy, the gender fluid cat, is super happy now. I'm gender fluid because we thought he was a girl and we named him Buffy and he's a boy. But the father of my grandson, he's super allergic to cats. Like he comes, if I had a cat and he was to come over, he's just going to close up immediately. Can't breathe, eyes watering. And, it's just kind of, I'd rather have him and my grandkids come over all the time rather than have a cat. So.
Right. Well, that makes sense. That's weird how some people are so allergic to cats.
Yeah, he immediately shuts up. Dogs too, so I can't have a dog either.
Oh, really? Matt, you're a cat person, aren't you?
Yeah, I have. My roommate has a cat, and then my parents have sort of stolen my cat from me, but that's probably for the better. But okay, I wanted to kind of change tack. I had sort of a weird line of questioning just because you're really interesting to me because of your place in sort of the thrash metal scene, having really been a formative part in shaping it and having been a part of the underground for so long. So, recently there's obviously been a lot of noise around the Metallica 30th anniversary of the Black Album, right?
Mm-hmm.
You were in a band with that guy. What did it feel like to hear that record and be like, oh, this guy I used to play Bonded by Blood with is now making, hard rock. Like, what was that?
Well, for one, he never played Bonded by Blood or that stuff all came after he left.
Right. But that's when but you know what I meant.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that guy is who I used to take acid with all summer long is in the biggest metal band of all time.
Yeah. Like, what did that feel like?
It's awesome.
When that happened? Like, that must have been weird.
No, I love Kirk and I couldn't be happier for him. I'm not that guy who ever sits around and wastes any energy and I should have been this big. I'm totally happy for him.
No, of course. Well, I'm not implying a jealousy thing. Just that's kind of strange that you eat acid with someone all summer and then suddenly.
And we did. No, I mean, I don't really think about that sometimes. Yes, they're the biggest metal band ever and one of the biggest rock bands ever. Maybe as far as hard rock, if you categorize them in that. Only AC/DC stands above him,
Sure.
I don't really think of it he's still just Kirk, So I still just think of the guy who I had to tell him to go run around in the sprinklers because he was falling asleep with his contacts still in. You know, you can't go to sleep with those in. Go wake up. You know, we're frying on mushrooms.
When did you start taking acid? And when did you stop? Or have you stopped?
Oh, I stopped a long, long, long time. Decade. I'd be terrified taking now. But yeah, it was our go-to. We loved it. Psychedelics. You learn everything you need to know about a guitar. Just take acid and play.
It's just interesting because I feel like the acid you were taking in 1982 is very different than the acid I was taking in 2012. And so I'm always just curious how that must have been.
You know, I mean, we would party, you know, we'd go down to Berkeley and sell a couple of records and go to People's Park and buy a hit of acid and a 12 pack of beer. And we were good to go for the next 18 hours.
Oh my.
That must have been crazy sort of in that post hippie diaspora going on at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was nuts, you know, but we were young and foolish and did a lot of stupid shit, you know, that's probably one of them, but I have no ill effects that I know of. What? Go away. Leave me alone.
It's been a long time. Hallucinogenics never worked for me back in the day. I've got a really slow metabolism. So they would always take a long time for some reason to kick in. So I convinced myself that whatever I had taken wasn't working. And then the next thing you know, like I'm up for 2 days and just want it to stop.
High as fuck.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, it happens. You know, I had a couple of close calls where I started crossing that line from reality to fantasy.
Yeah.
As long as you don't, you're okay.
Yeah.
But that's okay. So that's interesting. You said something interesting before about how all you need to know about playing guitar comes from psychedelics. Was acid like very influential on the early Exodus sound?
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
Well, I mean, Eddie Van Halen says he learned to play on acid. And I know when I'd return home after those really good nights, I'd pick up the guitar and like some crazy shit would come out. Of course, I didn't have any of it recorded. It's probably a mess. I don't know. It felt like liberating, but it seemed like, you know, like in the days that follow, I'd be really inspired. So maybe that had something to do with it.
No, yeah, I was just curious if there was some sort of like psychedelic epiphany that had fueled a bunch of this.
I know, you know, it will definitely spark the creative flow, you know,
for sure.
When did you first pick up a guitar? Like, why guitar as opposed to say drums or any other instrument?
I always wanted to play guitar. You know, I'm the youngest of six, and my parents never thought I'd stick with it because, you know, we had a piano that was basically a mantle, you know, to put photos on because no one played it anymore. And this and that. And I just always wanted to learn to play. And I never had the opportunity. And then when I got to know Kirk and first hung out with Kirk and we became immediate friends. And he showed me a few chords and a couple of licks and loaned me some really shitty old Montgomery Ward's guitar. And I took it home and practiced. And 6 months later, I was in Exodus.
Really? 6 months?
Yeah, 6 months. Crazy.
Oh, my God. That's kind of amazing, no?
Back in the Bay Area when we first like hit the club scene, it was like, you know, by then we were playing clubs. I'd only been playing like a year. And like, it was a big deal. Like, you ever see this guy? He's like only been playing 12 months and he's just kicking ass, you know? I should be a whole lot better now considering how good I got fast. Somewhere along the line, I fucked up and slowed down. I don't know.
No, you're still pretty good, my man. You're still pretty good. I don't know actually how you play. You know, when I think about the Slayer shows, because I, you know, I probably saw about 20 of your Slayer shows and maybe 8 in the last tour. I don't know how you play and move the way you do. I mean, you're like, you're fucking running all over the place. Your fucking head's going up and down. You never look at what you're doing. I mean, how do you do that? I don't get it. I mean, a lot of guitar players do that, but you take it to another level.
It's just natural, you know, and running around. I don't run around with Slayer. That looks silly. It's running around a little bit. I don't know. Exodus, you know, we run into each other, but that would like fuck Carrie'd get mad at me if I ran into him. But I don't know. I'm doing what the music's telling me to do, and that is move, you know. Just I see other guys on stage playing like Hall of Fame level riffs and not moving, and it makes me mad. Like, how can you not? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Bang that fucking head, dude.
Yeah, you what you do though, you take it to another level. Your neck must be like super strong.
It's the only joint on my body that's not a disaster. Really? My ankles are totally shot. My knees are shot. You know, my elbows are a total disaster, but my neck and my shoulders are okay.
All right. Well, you're doing
my back's right fucked up. Yeah. I'm a mess, except for the where it matters most.
How old are your kids? Do they play, or I don't know how old they are?
No, they don't play. My oldest is 28 and youngest is 22.
Okay. 24.
I have to, the three girls, I have to do the math, work backwards.
They don't play though?
No, they don't.
Gotcha. Okay.
I mean, my oldest, she has a couple of guitars and she plays around, but you know, she's an animator, not a musician.
Oh, that's cool. So still doing something artistic though. So there you go.
Yeah. She's doing quite well. She lives down in Burbank and works on cartoons.
And as you've gotten a little older or whatever, you still love touring and it doesn't get boring for you or homesick or, you know, what's your relationship with touring?
I love playing. I love hanging out on days off with my bandmates, you know, but I don't love being away from home anymore. You know, like I'm 57, you know, that part of me would rather be home with my wife and grandkids and my kids when I can see them. And, but you know, I do love being on stage. That's kind of why we do it. So I don't spend all my time sitting around like whining about it. It's what I do and I got to deal with it, you know? Yeah.
And you seem like you're going to do this for a long time. Just like you don't have like, oh, I'm done in a couple of years kind of a thing about you, right? You're going to just keep going.
As long as the neck keeps moving, I'm going to keep going. what else am I going to do?
In terms of keeping going, you know, there's obviously been a lot of noise about you and Kerry King doing stuff going forward. Is that something you can talk about or no?
I don't know anything about it. And I'm telling you
okay,
Satan's honest truth. You know, people keep talking and, oh, I heard about this band. Like, news to me, bro. I've got a new album coming out and I'm going to be quite busy with my original band. And I'm sure whatever Kerry does is going to be awesome, but it doesn't involve me. That's speculation. I don't know where people get the shit.
Good to know. I appreciate the insight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of rumors attributed to Kerry, and I don't think most of them are true, actually. But
yeah, almost none. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, always forget, you know him super well too, Chris, right?
Yeah. No, yeah. But he's keeping it under the vest too. I mean, we've talked a little bit about what he's doing next. I have a little bit of inside information, but it's very little. Like, he's keeping it pretty close to the vest. So
yeah.
Cool, I think.
He doesn't talk much.
Yeah. And that's cool because it's when he finally does come out with something, you know, it's because it's gonna really surprise people, and that's gonna work to his favor, right?
For sure.
It'd be hard.
The Kerry King acoustic ballads.
No, I'm sorry?
I don't think
I said
so.
The Kerry King acoustic
ballads. I don't think so. No, I doubt it.
But here's a question though. Do you think that Slayer really is done? That they'll
I think so. I think they're done forever. And November 30th, 2019 was the final show. 30th or was it 29th?
30th. Because
29th and 30th. Yeah.
Y'all had Thanksgiving at my restaurant the night before.
Yeah, we did.
Two nights before.
And I think that was the last show. And enjoy it. Watch the videos, go to YouTube, because that's all you're ever gonna get.
Yeah. It's really amazing. I mean, if they can stick to that, you don't see that often, right? You see bands that say that they're done, but then they come back or whatever. But I get the same vibe that they're not going to come back.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the Scorpions on their farewell tour like 15 years ago. Putting out a new album, the second one since then. The world is a better place with the Scorpions in it. Let me say that first. But yeah, you know, it's like the Motley Crue. You know, like we're breaking up. We're going to sign this contract in blood or whatever that will never
session of touring fucking
and content. Within a year they blew that thing up and the pandemic blew it up basically now. And you know, the world's a better place with Motley Crue in it, you know.
Vince Neil just broke his ribs from what I understand.
Yeah, I saw the video. He fell square off the front of stage. Ouch.
Okay. Jesus.
I know. I've broken some ribs. It ain't no fun.
It's not. I have as well.
Is that still a priority for you, seeing sort of the classic bands you grew up with and many of whom you've kind of played with at this point?
Yeah, I mean, if the band can play at a high level, why stop? Scorpions are still killer. Motley Crue's killer. Vince needs to get in shape.
Yeah.
Maybe he will. You know, I just saw this morning an interview with Nikki Sixx is talking about how the bands owe it to their fans to like not go out on stage out of shape with a beer, big beer belly. And like, I think he said that directing that at one person in particular.
Yeah.
Vince fucking Neil, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully he'll get it together. It's going to be a huge, big tour. I mean, get a trainer, hire a trainer, and get shit together.
It's a massive tour, and he'll sound better. And you know, yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, totally.
I'm somebody who struggled with my weight over the last, you know, being on TV and struggling with your weight. It's not fun, you know?
No, I go up and down all the time.
Yeah.
I like it better when I go down, you know?
Yeah. I hope he gets it together. It'll be great. It'd be great if you come out and slay.
Yeah. But I mean, don't got to retire Motley Crue. Come on, make another album.
And how many farewell tours have Kiss had at this point? You know what I mean?
A ton.
And they're still a lot of fun to see live.
But yeah, that all that being said, to all of the knowledge I have, Slayer is done. And that's it.
Why do you think that, and it's great, but why do you think that the most successful bands of the genre of music that we're talking about that you're in are the bands that came out in the 80s? And there aren't, you know, there's, you know, where's the new blood? You know what I mean? There's very few new bands that are moving the needle. And yet there are bands like Exodus that are plus 40, you know, 40 plus years in, about to put out what sounds to me, to my ears, like maybe one of their best records ever. Like, why is that the way it goes?
I don't know. Maybe I'm just experienced, and we're the creators of this shit. And we've also learned from our mistakes and learned, you know, late in life, how to like correct those mistakes and perfect our craft. I mean, you know, that's all I can think of. And as far as our new album, you ain't heard anything yet. You haven't heard shit. The singles are killer. They're awesome. But, you know, we haven't even dropped the like bombs, you know, like the album opener is the second longest song on the album. It's insane.
November 19th. I can't wait.
Yeah. It's crushing front to back. There's not a moment on the album that's not just completely 100% solid.
It makes me so happy. I cannot wait to hear it.
Through all of this conversation, I just love seeing how much passion you have for this, still so deep into it. That's really encouraging.
I love this shit. I mean, the albums we make, you know, not even just referring to the new one, can't be made if you're not in love with this shit. Our shit gets harder to play. I mean, it's like much harder to play, much more demanding physically. And then you couple that with the fact that I refuse to go out there and stand and play, you know, I'm not making life easy on myself or none of us, but we love doing it. I love this shit.
Absolutely.
I'm in love with thrash metal. You know, I mean, someone's got to be in love with it, right? It's that ugly stepchild of heavy metal.
I mean, you're like one of the ambassadors now. You're one of the legends. You know, you're if there's a Hall of Fame for thrash metal, you'd be in already. Like, is that something that must be, you know, again, when you were 16 years old? We've been talking to a few legends from this period, and it's amazing how, even though it's been 40 years, the enthusiasm, to Matt's point, is as if you're just putting out your first record. You know what I mean? You sound just as excited as you probably did 40 years ago.
As a band, we've been through a lot. You know, we've buried band members, you know, been there along with Tom on his cancer diagnosis. We've been through like some hardcore drug addiction. We've been through a lot of shit. And we're still here. We're still alive and still happy and making super high quality heavy metal, you know? And so, yeah, I'm going to be super positive because I've survived a lot of self-inflicted gunshot wounds, you know?
Yep. Well, you've come out stronger on the other end for it.
Exactly.
Where can people find you, Gary, on your socials? Learn more about Cats and check out these shirts of yours.
On my Instagram, just Gary Holt, I think, _official, some shit like that.
Got it. The record's out November 19th.
Yes, November 19th.
And you still want to kill the Kardashians?
Yeah, you know, that's a misnomer. I don't really want to kill them. I just want, I want them to go away. Just go somewhere and count your money. It's more of an indictment against like the tens of millions of people who are fascinated with their life. You know, go to a library. There's a lot more interesting things to do than follow them and see what kind of makeup they're wearing.
Yep, agreed.
And I'll go ahead and kill them. Fuck it. Not even Kanye. I don't, you know, the world's better with Kanye. I guess he's interesting, makes me laugh at least.
I think he just changed his name.
Yeah, he's now Ye.
He's now, he got rid of the K-A-N. Now he's just Yay.
Yeah. There's no more con. It's just Yay.
Yay. I saw him walking around wearing some weird Halloween mask nowadays.
I think Gary, you should get rid of the G-A and just go by Re.
Re. Yeah. Re. Yeah.
So dumb.
I'll figure something out. Maybe that's what's been holding me back. Too many letters.
Four is too many. We got to get down to two. Let's go.
Exactly. Amazing. Well, listen, we're going to let you go. Thank you so much for coming on. And I can't wait for this record to come out. I can't wait for the tour to resume. You know, I will be there.
Right on.
You know, to come see me at the restaurants when you're in, you know, any of the cities that I operate in.
Absolutely.
And I'm curious, man. Next writing session, have me come up. I'll do the barbecuing for a few days.
Dude, we'll do it. We'll make you head up to the mountains.
Dude, I would love it. I would absolutely love that.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing up there.
We'll get a smoker. We'll have some fun.
You got it, brother.
All right, brother. Thanks you so much. Appreciate it. All right. So that was awesome. Thank you, everyone out there, for listening to Delirious Nomads, sponsored by Blacklight Media. We will be coming back at you next week with another awesome guest. Be sure to follow Blacklight Media on socials for new music and more. And above all, keep it heavy.
One Hit Thunder is a podcast where we both celebrate and have a good laugh about bands and artists that had just one hit that we all know. Each week, we're joined by a guest from the world of music or comedy to learn more than you ever thought you would about some songs that you can't forget. And we decide if they brought the One Hit Thunder or were nothing more than a one hit blunder. Look, if you listen to the show, you're probably going to laugh, and I guarantee you're going to crush next time the bar has music trivia. Tag Team, Jane Child, Meredith Brooks, Looking Glass, Sean Mullins, Eiffel 65, EMF, Crash Test Dummies, Crazy Town, Chumbawamba. We have hundreds of episodes in our back catalog and a new episode each week. So pass the Dutchie, make sure you're connected, and subscribe to One Hit Thunder wherever you get your pods.
Hey, this is Chris Swinney, formerly of the Ataris and currently host of That One Time on Tour, part of the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. Have you ever wondered what it's really like on the road? The highs can be euphoric, but the lows can be crushing. Join me every week as I chat with industry pros about what it's like living out their wildest dream and, in some cases, their worst nightmare. Past guests of the show include members of NoFX, Pennywise, Bad Religion, and more. Listen and subscribe at SoundTalentMedia.com.